Good morning. Thank you so much for inviting us and for having us today. The whole family, I have about 30-some people from all over the world. They are all thankful to be here. And we are all thankful to be in this great country. And I'm thankful to have this great man as my husband. Thank you very much.
Thank you, honey. By the way, she's still mad at me after 46 years of marriage for not taking her last name. I'm sorry. Thank you so much. It's very humbling and very exciting to be here with you this morning. And I must admit that Bishop Tsui is a tough act to follow. It's just amazing. So I'd like you to thank you very, very much for the invitation. And thank you, Pastor Tsui, as well. Thank you. There is something magical and majestic about your church. Every time I come here, I can really feel the presence of God. And when you see, say, Jesus come here, Jesus is already here. And I can see the light on the faces of everyone here. And there's just something extremely beautiful about this church and just makes your soul soar with the excitement and the happiness of being here. And I must admit that the beauty that I see in this church is not only spiritual, it's also physical. For some reason, I really see all the people here are very beautiful and very handsome. I must admit that the beauty level of this church is above average. Thank you. Thank you so much for thinking of and praying for Egypt. We need your prayer. Egypt has suffered a lot, especially the Christians in Egypt, and they continue to suffer. And we believe in the magic power of prayer. So we ask you not to forget praying for Egypt, even the Christians and the Muslims. We want everybody in Egypt to be prayed for. This morning, I would like to talk to you about the power of prayer. And I'm sure that everyone here has experienced the power of prayer. And the picture that you saw on the screen a few minutes ago that showed 21 Coptic Egyptian Christians sitting or actually kneeling before they were beheaded by ISIS people on the shores of the Mediterranean in Libya. And there was a really very troubling video of that act, and they showed the whole thing, including the beheading. But before those people were beheaded, something amazing was happening. All of them were praying. Some of them in silence, you can just see their lips moving. Some of them were saying only one word, Jesus. And some of them were praying, you could not really hear what they were saying. But in spite of the fact that we don't know for sure what they were saying, we know that their lives ended with prayers. And their prayers were very, very remarkable and very strong. And even though we know that at the end, these prayers did not save their lives. But the power of prayer is not in its result. The power of prayer is in the act itself, in being connected with God. So sometimes we pray and for some reason, God does not answer our prayers for whatever reasons he has, doesn't answer you right away. It's still, nevertheless, the prayer is still very powerful and very strong. And surprisingly, few days after this horrific act, there was a memorial service in the cathedral in Cairo. Thousands of people were praying for the victims and their families. One of the ladies in that cathedral had lost two sons in that massacre. And they were asking her, if you meet your son's murderer, what would you do? And the lady said, I would invite him into my house. I will make him some tea and I will pray for him and with him. asking God to open his heart to the glory of God and to take that hatred out and replace it with love. And in that cathedral, as they were praying for the victims and the families, something amazing happened. People starting praying for the murderers. They started praying for the terrorists. And that is just amazing because God told us in Matthew 5:43, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And that was happening in that cathedral, that they were praying not only for the victims, but also for the murderers. So imagine the magic power of prayer mixed with the power of forgiveness. This is an awesome combination. So if those families were able to forgive the murderers who killed their sons, can't we forgive each other? Can't we forgive our families and our friends and our neighbors? And even ourselves. This is the power of prayer. I want to share with you something happened long, long time ago when I was actually in medical school. We lived in a very humble part of Cairo. And next door to us, there was a family consisted of three children and their mother. The father had died a few years before. And that mother was a blessed mother. She was, we called her Tant Umm Yusuf. Tant means aunt. Umm Yusuf, the mother of Yusuf. She was not our aunt, but that was the way we addressed our next door neighbors. And she had three children, two of them boys and a girl. And that lady was an amazing lady. She was illiterate, but she memorized the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. And she would pray for anyone. And she had a special relationship with God. You could see her eternally beautiful smile on her crinkled face all the time. So her oldest son, Fauzi, was 20 years old at that time, 21. And he was a drug addict and an alcoholic. And that broke her heart. She was praying for him all the time. Fauzi started to develop chronic cough. To make a long story short, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And the tuberculosis destroyed his lungs, became replaced only with cavities. There was no lung tissue. So he was not able to breathe. And the physician decided that he needed surgery to remove part of his right lung. So he was admitted to an institution called the TB Sanatorium. He was in Ward 6. It's a 12-bed ward. And Umm Yusuf would go every single day, and she kneels by his bed, and she would cry and pray. And she would say to the people, my son is not going to need surgery. He's going to be cured. The Lord will cure him. And everybody felt sorry for her. And gradually they started to mock her. Some people would throw tomatoes and eggs and trash at her, and they called her the old crazy lady. But she said all the time, my son will be healed by the Lord. Yes. On the day of the surgery, she went before dawn to the ward. She knelt next to his bed, to Fauzi's bed, and she started praying first in silence, and then later on, she started to pray. Actually, people could hear her. And then she got up and she said, my son is cured. Call the doctor. And everybody said, you're crazy. And she insisted. So they called the resident. The resident woke up early in the morning. He was very unhappy. He came. He said, what are you bothering me for? He said, well, my son is cured. I just want you to examine him again. He said, no. I examined him yesterday. His chest was totally full of TB cavities. We have to take him to surgery. He said, no, please. And he would not even put a stethoscope on his chest. So she knelt and she kissed the physician's feet. I say, please, please listen to his chest. So the resident reluctantly put the stethoscope and he froze. He heard normal breath sounds. For several days before, he would listen to his chest and he would hear only the crackling sound of air going through those cavities. So he scratched his head. He didn't know what to do. So he called the attending. The attending was very upset. He's a fat, short, bald guy, like somebody I know. So he came also very grudgingly and said, "What's going on?" And the resident told him, "His breath sounds are normal." "Oh, you can't hear breath sound." So he put his telescope and he said, "Oh, I don't understand." He scratched his bald head and he said, "Let's get a chest x-ray." They got a chest x-ray and it was completely normal. So the doctor said, "It can be. It can be. Something is wrong." At that time, the patients in Ward 6 and other wards started to realize that a miracle was happening. So people start coming surrounding the patient, Fauzi, and his mother, and starting touching her, starting taking her hand to put her hands on their chest. People started kneeling and started praying. So the doctors were alarmed, and he told Imam Yusuf, "Take your son and go away and don't ever come back." And Fauzi became completely normal, and Fauzi's life was changed completely. He became a preacher, and he preached throughout all the provinces in Egypt until he passed away about 10 years ago. This is the power of prayer. Shortly after that, at that time I was in medical school, I did not see the x-rays myself, but I knew Fauzi when he was dying, and a few days later he comes back completely normal as a healthy 21-year-old gentleman. I was in the last year of medical school a few years later, and I was having the last test of medical school, and that essentially was called a physical exam. That means they bring you a patient, and you have to diagnose the patient's condition and offer a plan of treatment. And I was extremely nervous. I could not sleep. So at 3 o'clock, I didn't know what to do, so I thought I will go to Umm Yusuf's house. I knew that this lady has sort of a blessed soul. At that time, we didn't have phones. Just to give you an idea, Eileen and I applied for a phone in Egypt in 1970. We got the phone in 1992. 22 years to get a phone. So there was no phone. So I went to her apartment. I knocked on the door at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I told her, "I'm sorry, I can't sleep. Can you pray for me?" And she said, "Come on in." So I went to her humble living room. And we knelt. And she touched my head. And she started praying. And something soothing, a soothing feeling, started to engulf me from head to toe. And I had that kind of confidence and strength that everything is going to be okay, even though I didn't know whether I'm going to do well or not, but I had that confidence and certainty that God will be with me. And all of a sudden, you feel that strength. And that strength was not coming from me, was coming from being connected with the limitless source of strength. As if you really plugged your energy pack inside you to a limitless source of energy. And you have that kind of feeling of comfort and tranquility and strength. And all this is coming from God. This is the power of prayer. Why do we pray? We pray for so many reasons. It can be trivial as praying for the Cubs to win the World Series. Oh, I take this back. This is not trivial. This is not trivial. Or we pray for our families. We pray for our neighbors. We pray for our country. We pray for wisdom. And we pray for comfort. But when you pray, more or less, most of us here in this country, we pray in a comfort zone. But let us go 8,000 miles to the Middle East and think of how the Christians pray in Egypt or in the Middle East in general. Their lives are very difficult. Even outside Egypt, like in Syria and Iraq, what's happening, like men are either crucified, beheaded, or shot. Women are kidnapped, raped, or sold into slavery. Their present is bad and their future is worse. So how can you survive this day in and day out when you're subjected to this kind of persecution every single minute of your life? You have to adhere to your faith, and you have to adhere to the prayers. This is the only thing that can bring some sort of sense to all these senseless acts of violence. This is the thing that can give you, the prayer can give you support to go on day in and day out. And they have no idea whether they're going to live or not. But even though they know that they may die, but still they pray for mercy and for wisdom. This the prayer. The prayer is the same, but the context is totally different. Because people praying, they're not just only asking for the World Cup to win the so-called World Series. Essentially, just to want to survive. And even if they are not going to survive, they would like to be always connected with God. Because that's the only thing that can sustain them in that kind of environment. About a month ago, in a small village in Upper Egypt, there were some rumors that a Christian man was having an affair with a Muslim woman. And that's a no-no in Islam. It's okay to have the Muslim man having an affair with a Christian woman or many women. That's okay. But for a Christian woman to be having an affair with a Muslim man, that was a no-no. It's the other way. I'm sorry. So 300 people, Muslim people, went to that man's house, surrounded, and they wanted to kill him. He was not there. So they caught his 70-year-old mother. They stripped her naked completely and dragged her in the streets of the village to show their contempt. 300 men, and they always talk, those men, they will not allow even, you know, an eyelash or a tip of a finger to show from their wives because they are covered from head to toe. But they took that 70-year-old woman and dragged her like that, depriving her of her integrity and dignity. And nobody said, this is wrong. We should not do that. But this is the way Christians are treated in Egypt in general, because Muslims don't look at us as equally human. No. Christians in Egypt are treated like some way between cockroaches and apes. Is not even at that level, because this is the only way that they can do these atrocities and they still can sleep at night. A 13-year-old girl was kidnapped in Raqqa in Syria. And she was sold into slavery to a member of the ISIS fighters. That ISIS fighter gave her as a gift, it's like a thing, to one of the leaders of ISIS. So that girl finally escaped, and she told her story. When she went to the home of that high leader, she said that he appeared to be a very nice man. He had a big family with children, some girls as well, and they treated me very nicely. And he asked her to come with him to pray. And she told him, I don't know how to pray the Muslim prayer. She was Christian. He said, I teach you. So he started praying, and she was with him, and then he raped her. And he raped her again and again and again. And every time before he raped her, he prayed. Is this a kind of prayer that we are talking about? No. He was trying to seek some sort of preemptive absolution to give himself an excuse to rape this girl, because for him, it was like an animal. But this is the way people live in the Middle East. There are stories and stories. Just few days ago, actually, some people in Upper Egypt, also in a small village, did not have a church, because the church in Egypt, in order to build the church, you need the permission from the prime minister. The prime minister. So the building in church is more difficult than going to the moon. So those people did not have a church, so they had a prayer gathering in one of the houses. The Muslims heard about that, so they came and torched that house. And they destroyed 80 other houses. My brother tells me they are not 80, less than that, whatever it is. But there are lots of houses were put to flames, completely destroyed, just because some people were trying to praise the Lord or to pray. This is really the way people live in the Middle East. Every single day is a struggle. And you are treated as a second-class citizen. I have never felt to be a first-class citizen until I came to this great country. There was no other way. In Egypt, no matter who you are, you're still treated less than what, even sometimes they say, you're really very good. You're really a waste to be a Christian. You should come to be a Muslim, because they think in order to be a good person, you have to be a Muslim. And they have that kind of inner feeling. And when they talk about that Islam is a religion of peace, I really don't see that. And if you ask all the Christians in Egypt or Christians in the Middle East, they don't see what this notion is, that Islam is a religion of peace. All what we see the hostilities and the murder and the kidnapping and the rape. That is what's happening in the Middle East day in and day out. So when we look at our own country, Elaine and I have been American citizens since 1995. And we are absolutely grateful and thankful that we were given the opportunity to be a part of this great country. And we see that sometimes we as a country, we have lots of challenges for sure. And we see lots of things that we know that we would like to change. But we should not forget that this is the greatest country on earth because of you. It's not because of the submarines or the aircraft carriers. No. This country is great because of the people in this country. And I'm glad that Bishop Sui is talking about the rejuvenation of America. And we are praying for our country. We are praying for the government. We are praying for every part of the government. Because this country is great and continue to be great. And the greatness will come from the kindness and generosity that the American people have been giving everyone. I just wrote an article in a newspaper yesterday, actually published, about how immigrants assimilate themselves in America compared to in Europe. In Europe, people treat you differently. They are welcoming you, but they keep you at arm's length. But here in America, what we have seen so far, that you open your hearts and you open your arms and you embrace us and you treat us as friends and neighbors and part of this country. So we are extremely grateful for the fact that we are privileged and honored to be living in this great country. We have 37 of our friends and family members here from Egypt. Some of them, thank you. Some of them are visiting. Some of them are immigrants here. Some of them have immigrated like 9 years ago. My brother immigrated 5 years ago. Nermin and Hani immigrated a year ago. In spite of these short time periods of time, all of them are very successful in what they do. They pay their own taxes. They abide by the law. Their kids are exceptionally well, doing well in schools. Those are the kind of immigrants we would like for our country because people will be contribute to the greatness of our country. Those are the people we'd welcome them to come and to contribute to our country. Again, I don't want anyone to be complacent about how wonderful this country is. And we should not be blinded by the tree and not see the forest. We have challenges, we have problems, we can do better. But still, America is still the shining light on the hill. America is still the best hope for humanity. And every country you go to, you'll find Americans helping people of that country, not because of political reasons or the CIA. It's not true. People are really willing to help and trying to help. And the generosity and the kindness we have seen in this country is just amazing, and we see it every single day. And our friends and families who come here, you came recently, they saw the same thing. They had a glimpse of the greatness of this country as manifested in the people of this country, especially this area. This area really, the people here in this area are, in my opinion, the best of the best. This is the best quality of people I have seen any part of the world at all, really. Thank you. Thank you again very, very much for praying for Egypt. We ask you not to forget that although we are praying for a traffic light or praying for rain and thank for rain, but people in the Middle East are praying for just for existence. And even if they know that they may not survive, they still pray for mercy and grace. Thank you again so much. God bless you and God bless America. Thank you.